Expressions from St. Paul is listener supported. We ask that you pray on sowing a seed into this ministry and help us take the good news of the gospel all over the world.
Our fight is not with fists. Our fight is not with bullets and bombs. Our fight isn't with North Korea. And believe it or not, our fight is not with Donald Trump. Our fight today, my friends, is for the faith that you and I hold in Jesus the Christ.
This week's message, which is titled "A Faith Worth Fighting For," and our guest speaker, Reverend Mervin Redman, explains that we must play defense and take offense to the enemy.
And we do that by knowing God's word, by worshiping him in spirit and in truth. We do that by making disciples for Christ. We do that by evangelizing sinners all around us. We do that, brothers and sisters, by having a lively and faithful fellowship that honors Jesus Christ and uplifts one another.
Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully in his 47th year here at St. Paul, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Our edifice is located at 3996 14th Avenue in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to worship with us in person on Sunday morning. Join us this Sunday morning at 9:30 as we celebrate our 70th church anniversary. It would truly be a blessing to look around and to see your face in the place. If you have your Bible or your mobile device, let's go to the book of Jude, verses 3 and 4. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. We are now going to transition into the auditorium, and let's join morning worship service already in progress.
If you would bow with me in a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this wonderful privilege, this opportunity to share your word with your people. On today, dear God, it is my humble prayer that you would use me in your service today. I pray that the words of my mouth would be your words. I pray the meditations of my heart would be only upon you. I pray, dear God, that you would be pleased with everything that is said and taught. And I pray that we, your people, would not be idle hearers, but make us active doers of your word. In Jesus' blessed name, I pray and I give you praise. Amen. Amen. Now, if you would turn with me your Bibles to the second to last book in the Bible, Jude. This one chapter letter is power packed. We're going to rest our attention on verses 3 and 4. Jude verses 3 and 4. And I'm reading today from the English Standard Version of God's Word. This is how God's Word reads. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation. Ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only master and Lord, Jesus Christ. God bless you as you take your seats today. By the help of God today, I simply want to talk about a faith worth fighting for. A faith worth fighting for. In April 1988, an evening news report reported on a photographer who was a skydiver. He had jumped many times successfully, but on this particular jump, he filmed various other skydivers as they fell and opened their chutes. As the last diver opened his chute, suddenly the picture went berserk. The newscaster reporting on the story said that cameraman had sadly fell to his death, for he had jumped from the plane without a parachute. Unfortunately, it wasn't until he reached for the absent ripcord that that man realized he was free falling without a chute. Until that point, the jump probably seemed pleasant, exciting.
Tell it.
It wasn't until he realized there was no chute that he had realized he had acted thoughtlessly with haste and with deadly foolishness. Nothing could save that man, for his faith was in a parachute that he was not wearing. I've come today to tell you that faith in anything except an all-sufficient God is tragic. Jude writes this letter because there is a tragedy taking place in the church. There were godless people, perverted people, people who had been already condemned by God, who had snuck into the church and began to teach damnable doctrines. It was a danger then, and may I say to you today, this same heresy is dangerous today. Brothers and sisters, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 is still true, where Paul says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." Brothers and sisters, the latter times are the days in which we live today. They began when Jesus came, and they will not end until Jesus returns and judges the world. The same fight that Jude and the church fought then is being fought today. Now, to be sure, as Paul says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, Ephesians chapter 6. Our battle is against Satan and unseen, wicked, demonic forces that utilize people who do not believe in Jesus Christ. Our fight is not with fists. Our fight is not with bullets and bombs. Our fight isn't with North Korea. And believe it or not, our fight is not with Donald Trump. Our fight today, my friends, is for the faith that you and I hold in Jesus the Christ. Jude verses 3 and 4, this entire letter actually encourages Christians to engage in the fight for our faith. And I've come to encourage you today, brothers and sisters, if you've been on the sideline, get in the game. If you've been sitting on the bench, it's time for you to check in. Like the Golden State Warriors like to say, it's time for you to lock in and start playing some defense and taking offense to the enemy. And we do that by knowing God's word, by worshiping him in spirit and in truth. We do that by making disciples for Christ. We do that by evangelizing sinners all around us. We do that, brothers and sisters, by having a lively and faithful fellowship that honors Jesus Christ and uplifts one another. Today, my brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you, check in. Lock in. Get in the game. Get in the fight. You must understand, first of all, as we examine this text, there is the priority for our fight. Then there's the performance of the fighters. And then finally, we will look at the people with whom we fight or contend. First of all, the priority of our fight. Note in the text, Jude says, it was his intention to write about our common salvation, verse 3, but he found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all handed down to the saints. He intended to write about salvation and all that that means to the believer and how God saved us and set us free. But because of the pressing need to encourage God's people to defend the faith, Jude changes directions and talks about contending for the faith. But in contending for the faith, I would say to you, you've still got to understand the implications of our common salvation. I'm simply saying, if we don't understand how we were saved, why we were saved, and understand the security of our salvation, then we'll never be able to rightly defend or contend for the faith that God handed down to us once and for all. In verse 1, Jude tells us about our salvation. He says, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, listen to this, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. First of all, he teaches us about the how of salvation. In verse 1, he says, you and I who are saved by the grace of God were called by God. Did you not know the preachers are not the only called individuals in the church? If, in fact, you've been born again, God called you. He invited you to himself. The truth is, he had to invite us because we did not have sense enough or strength enough to go to God by ourselves. All of our efforts fell woefully short. So God sent an invitation through his son in the form of a cross to bridge the chasm between sinners and himself. God invited us. God called us to himself so that we might be saved. So if somebody asked you, how did you get saved? God saved me. You didn't make up your mind to come to the Lord. No, you didn't make up your mind you were going to get right with God. You didn't lay your burdens down. No, God saved you by himself, for himself. I wish I had a witness today. That's good news, because I couldn't save myself. I'm too stupid. I'm too ignorant. I sin too much. I'm too weak. But guess what? So are you. But thank God he reached out to us when we didn't have the strength to reach up to him. He called us. That's the how of salvation. But note in verse 1, he says, you and I are the beloved. That's the why of salvation. The word beloved means dearly loved. You and I were dearly loved by God when we were unlovable. Huh. Let me give you a window to look through so you can see what I'm saying. Anybody here in grade school ever played kickball? Yeah, at Longfellow Elementary School in San Francisco, when I was in the kindergarten, first, second, third grade, we would always, at recess and lunchtime, play kickball. And you know how it goes, you have to choose up sides. Yeah, and if you were the team captain, you knew to always pick the best players first. Yeah, so that's why LeBron picked Kevin Durant. LeBron knew he didn't have a duplicate, so he had to pick somebody just as good as himself. So here it is, he picked Kevin Durant. When we played kickball, we had to pick the best kickers and the best catchers and the fastest runners. But every time we picked teams, there would be that one little kid that either didn't get picked or was the last one picked. And they were the last one picked because they were the weakest. They were the slowest. They couldn't catch. Couldn't kick the ball past the pitcher's mound. Sometimes it didn't even get picked. They were standing there with a snotty nose, tears about to run down their face, calling for their mom and all that kind of stuff. We didn't want that kid on our team. But that's who God picked. You and I were too weak. We were standing there with a runny nose. We had tears in our eyes. We couldn't kick. We were slow. We couldn't catch. But God picked us anyway. Jesus did say in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. That's not mourning over death, friends. That's mourning over the fact that we cannot get to God by ourselves. We mourn because God had to save us all by himself. And he did. That's good news today. That's the why of salvation. We are the beloved of God. But then also he tells us about the security of our salvation, because in verse 1 he says we are kept by Jesus Christ. That word kept, Brother Perku, I did the grammatical study. I looked all through the Greek. I tried to find out if there was something tricky to that word, and I discovered this. The word kept means kept. He holds us. And 1 Thessalonians 5:23 helps us here. He holds us or keeps us blameless until the day of Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean we're sinless. That means we are blameless before God because of the blood of Christ. We are covered in the blood so that God can accept us. Apart from the blood, we would go to a burning hell. But because of the blood, choir, that's why I like when y'all start singing about all the blood that Jesus shed for you and I. That blood covers us so that we are acceptable in the day that Christ returns and judges the world. And may I say this while I'm here? Let's not cheapen the blood. And try to use the blood on a cold, the flu, cancer. The blood is not meant to heal your sicknesses in this world. That cheapens the blood. The blood is meant to wash away sins. If the blood was only good for a sickness temporarily, it would be no good for our eternal needs to wash away our sins. But thanks be to God, the blood that Jesus shed way back on Calvary, it will never, never lose its power. So here it is, friends. We see the priority of our fight, because there are so many getting salvation wrong. So many in the church think they can lose their salvation. So many in the church doubting how they can be saved, thinking God doesn't care for them because of something they did. There is nothing you can do to God that somebody else ain't already done. Don't you think, because we preachers, we haven't sinned, if God stripped us naked right now, some of y'all would run from this building, not want to hear me preach, not want to hear us pray, the choir, you wouldn't want to hear them sing. But guess what? If God stripped you naked, we wouldn't want to preach to you. We wouldn't want to sing to you. The truth is, none of us is deserving of heaven. None of us is deserving of salvation. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen, amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So here it is. We see the priority of our fight. We've got to fight. It's just that important. But then Jude moves on to talk about the performance of the fighters. That's you and I. He moves on in verse 3 from talking about how it was necessary for him to write about contending the faith to talking about the contending for the faith that was handed down. That word contend is key there. Contend carries along with it the idea of giving extra effort. Yeah, it's pictured, an allusion to it is the Olympic Games, where athletes would contend in their contest. But this word suggests those who contend in individual sports. It's a difference to play a team sport where you got to depend on 4 other guys, or you got to depend on 10 other guys. You got to depend on the team to win. You have some contribution, but all the pressure's not on you. In an individual sport, it's all on you. Like you said, tennis, golf, gymnastics. It's not about what the team does, it's about what you do. And if you don't prepare like you ought to prepare, you have no one to blame but yourself for your failure. Here Jude says each and every one of us is duly bound by God to contend for the faith. Yeah, we are a team, but as individuals, we got to prepare ourselves to contend daily, so that when we contend collectively, the collective grows stronger.
Amen. Amen.
Contend. Give it all you've got. Give it all of your energy. Don't just blow off Bible study or Sunday school. Don't just blow off the conference. Don't just blow off meditating on God's word daily. Don't just blow off your prayer time. Don't just blow off time that you need to spend alone with God. You and I have to contend. And in order to contend, we got to train. We got to grow stronger. We got to grow wiser. We got to know God deeper. We got to trust God, lean, and depend on him. It's all about effort and contending. But he also talks about our effectiveness when he talks about the faith. He says, you are to contend for the faith that was once for all handed down to the saints. Listen to this. He says here, you've got to know what you're fighting for, and you've got to know who you are as you fight. Yeah, he says, contend for the faith. No, now this isn't some type of wishy-washy faith. This is all that is revealed by God in Scripture. This has to do with, I know we don't like to talk about it, but doctrine. This has to do with discipleship. This has to do with you and I. Listen, somebody said this, and they tried to make a joke out of it, and it makes me mad every time I hear it, but I'm going to share it with you because I want you to be mad with me. If you want to hide something from a black person, put it in a book. I know, made me mad too. Yeah, I wanted to go hurt somebody after I heard that the first time. But I found that over time, for me, What I don't know because I didn't look. If we take time to study what we believe and why we believe it, we wouldn't be afraid of the Jehovah's Witnesses when they come to our doors on Saturdays. If we only knew what we believe, we wouldn't be fooled by these televangelists when they come on Sunday morning, late at night. You got to go order some holy oil or a chunk of wood, they say, from the original cross. I saw one joker one time draw his hand on a piece of paper and say, "Now send me 1995, I'm going to send you this blessed hand." And the joker was on television, so that meant somebody must have been buying those fake blessed hands. Brothers and sisters, if we knew what we believed, we wouldn't fall for that mess. He says, contend for the faith. And this is what I like, that was once for all delivered to the saints. Once for all. There is no other word. There is no new revelation. Don't you believe what these people are saying today, that there's a new revelation? I like what Paul Shepherd said some years ago. He said, listen, if the old revelation is good, there's no need for a new revelation. We've yet to unpack all of the truth found in God's word right now. We still have trouble living the 66 books. Why we need a new revelation and we can't get the first one right? Brothers and sisters, we've got to invest our time in defending the faith that was handed down to the saints. Bless the Lord. That's us, brothers and sisters. Yeah, saints are not those people that the Pope deems it necessary to be saints. Saints are those who God has set free through the blood of Christ. We are the saints. At St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church right now, the saints of God have gathered to worship God. In Stockton right now, Progressive, the saints of God have gathered to worship God. At St. John in San Francisco right now, the saints of God have gathered to worship God. And when we gather, all we're doing is rehearsing for that day when Christ returns. I can't wait to see my Jesus. Is it anybody here can't wait for that day when we see him face to face and worship him for all time and eternity? So we see the performance of the fighters is this. We've got to give it effort. We've got to be effective in defending the faith. But finally, brothers and sisters, I want to say a word about the people we fight with. I told you earlier that we don't fight against flesh and blood, and I understand this is not a contradiction. We're not fighting with those who teach false doctrine. We don't fight them with fists. What we fight them with is the word of God. Some time ago, I remember on KFAX in San Francisco, I was listening to a show where a lady was being interviewed, and she said she went to a state's dinner one night. And at that dinner was the leader of the FBI, the person who was over counterfeit bills. And she asked the man, she said, "Well, how is it that you identify counterfeit money so easily?" He said, "Madam, that's real easy. You've got to know the genuine article well enough that you can spot a phony right off the bat." Amen. Brothers and sisters, if we're going to contend against those who oppose our God, who teach truth that is not found or falsehood that is not found in the word of God, you and I have to know the genuine article well enough so that we don't fall for a phony. The phonies are spoken of in verse 4. Note what Jude says. Certain people crept in. They snuck in the church. They stealthily entered in. Listen, they came to new members just enough to graduate. They gave the the preacher their hand, but they didn't give God their heart. And Jude says, a long time ago, they were designated for this condemnation. God picked them out a long time ago as being phonies. And as Jesus says to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, listen, if you do not believe, you're condemned already. These people, these creepers, were those condemned individuals. Not only does he talk about how they've been condemned, he talks somewhat about their character. In verse 4, he says, not only are they condemned, but they're ungodly people. Notice this. No one who is ever fake and phony doesn't eventually show their real self. They can try as hard as they want. But listen, Mr. Hyde gonna come out sooner or later. When I was a kid, I liked the Wolfman. I'm an old black and white movie fan. My kids laugh at me all the time because I'm always on Turner Classic Movies. I know it wasn't hardly no black folk. I know that. But you didn't have to worry about drugs much. There was no nudity. Very little cursing. Didn't have blood splattered all over the screen every 5 minutes. You know, you didn't have to worry about alternative lifestyles. Yeah, I'm from San Francisco, but I don't swing that way, y'all. I'm sorry. I'm from the hood, all right? That's not the Bayview, y'all. That's not Hunter's Point. That's not Double Rock, no. Listen, here it is. So I watched The Wolfman. I love The Wolfman. And The Wolfman, I don't care how hard he tried. When a full moon came out, Lon Chaney gonna change. And you better not be in the room with him. Listen, even if he loved you 2 minutes ago, he gonna eat you when the moon come out. He can't, thank you, Perseus, thank you. He can't help what's inside. Jesus said, beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. These fellas, these creepers in verse 4 of Jude are those wolves in sheep's clothing. Their character will be revealed. Only does talk about their character, he talks about their conspiracy. Notice this in verse 4, he also says, not only do they, their character's talking about how they were designated for condemnation, not only, listen, they are ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God. Listen, they try to twist grace. They'll say things like, well, God gonna forgive you anyway, so go ahead and do it. You do you and God understands. Can I tell you, no, he does not. God would not have invested his son and his son's blood in you if he understood sin. No, God always hates sin. Always punishes sin because his nature is holy. He doesn't wink at our sin. He doesn't give us a pass. And here it is. These men were teaching God's grace was weak and shaky and iffy. Not only that, but notice their contradiction. They deny our Master, Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is. They don't give in to Jesus. They don't, that's what the word deny means. When you deny someone, you don't acknowledge them. They may preach in his name, but they don't know his name. You remember Jesus did say, there will be a day when some of you will say, Lord, Lord, did not prophesy in your name? Ran all those revivals in your name? I hooped and hollered in your name. And I'll say to you, depart from me. Listen to this, you workers of iniquity. This is who Jude is talking about. There's a contradiction. But there's good news in the text. I don't want to leave you with these false phonies and say goodbye to you. There's good news in the text. Because Jude does mention the fact that God is our God. And he mentions the fact that Jesus Christ is our master and our Lord. Yeah, God is our God. Therefore, we worship him. Jesus is our Lord. Therefore, we obey him. Here's the good news, y'all. Because God is our God and Jesus is our master, we've already won the fight. As a matter of fact, the fight is fixed. Oh, yeah. See, some of y'all don't know about a fixed fight because boxing is not popular today, but there was a time when nefarious figures would fix boxing matches. They would pay one fighter to either take a dive or drag the fight along so they would make extra money off of bets. Our God is not a nefarious God, but he is a God who fixed the fight for you and I. So as long as we're fighting, we've got God on our side and Jesus as our Lord. It's a fixed fight. And I'm grateful to God today that it's a fixed fight. Because look at here, if it wasn't fixed, you and I wouldn't be fixed for heaven. But through Christ, he fixed you and I, who do not deserve heaven, for heaven and home. Listen, I remember the late Dr. Rance Whiteside used to say, when God looked down on us sinners and saw our condition, he needed a blood that would pass heaven's laboratory test. So God looked around. He looked at Moses and said, Moses, I love you, but your blood can't pass my test because you murdered a man. He looked around and saw David and said, David, I love you, but your blood can't pass the test because, David, you're a player from the Himalayas. He looked around and he saw all manner of men and women. He saw Sister Rahab there and said, Sister Rahab, I love you, but you work the red light district. Your blood won't pass heaven's laboratory test. Peter, I love you. But Peter, you got a problem with anger and you had a problem with racism. I cannot use you, Peter. But when God looked to his right, he saw his son sitting there. His son had a precious blood that could pass heaven's laboratory test. And one Friday, he shed that blood. And that blood still works today. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Hey! Yes, it will. Yes, he will. Yeah! Yeah!
The ushers, hold the door, please.
All right.
A faith that's worth fighting for. If at all possible, while the Holy Spirit is moving, please do not walk unnecessarily. Again, ushers, please hold the door. God has given us a word this morning.
Amen.
And all of us should have been challenged. I was helped and challenged. But the first order of business is, do you know Christ? And if you don't know Jesus the Christ, we ask that you come down. We have counselors to share with you the gospel. There's nobody like Jesus. Nobody like Jesus. Will there be one today to say yes to the Lord? With everyone today. While the Holy Spirit is moving, with everyone, will there be one? Will there be one? Don't be afraid. God is waiting for you. Amen. We appreciate you. She stepped out on faith. With everyone, it's okay to step out. If you need somebody to walk with you, ask your neighbor, they'll walk with you down. Will there be one? Will there be one? Will there be one? Will there be one to say yes to Jesus the Christ? His blood is sufficient. And his power is unmatchable. If that's your story and you want to turn your life around, Christ can help. Will there be one?